Let us hear God's word, Psalm 143, the Son of David. Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment of thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul, he hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee, as a thirsty land, Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord, my spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And with thy mercy, cut off mine enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul. For I am thy servant. Amen. May the Lord add the blessing to the reading of his holy and precious word. Well, by way of text, we'll read verse 4 and then afterwards verse 6. However, we're going to look at particularly the whole of the psalm together very briefly. Well, let's read verse 4. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me, my heart within me is desolate. And then verse 6. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee, as a thirsty land, Selah. The Psalm of David, and it's very evident, it was also a prayer. Just notice how the psalm begins. Hear my prayer, O Lord. And then in verse 6, I stretch forth my hands unto thee. He's addressing the Lord, he's coming to the Lord. He's bringing his prayer unto him. He found himself in great trial because of some enemy particularly, but also others. Just notice verse 9. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. The enemies have pursued him. There are those who think he is particularly considering Saul and those that were with him. Not everyone agrees with that, but some do. But he was pursued by his enemies. What does he do? He flees unto the Lord. Verse 9, I flee unto thee to hide me. He turns to the Lord in prayer. As we will consider tonight, he found himself sinking under the burden, yet he turned to the Lord. He stretches out his hands. Verse 6, I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee, as a thirsty land, Selah. And as we note that pause there in the end of verse 6, do not we pause tonight and consider that in times of difficulty, in distress, in trial, when we find ourselves overwhelmed and sinking, is it not good for us to make our approach unto the Lord? Well, two things tonight as we come to this psalm. First of all, overwhelmed, and we'll consider the distress, the cause for the prayer, and then secondly, earnest prayer. Firstly, overwhelmed. Secondly, earnest prayer. Verse 4. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. Well, let's begin by considering this word overwhelmed here in the psalm. We've often sung these words. And we've often sung those words in Psalm 61, which we did tonight. You remember that psalm? Psalm 61. Verses 2 and verse 3, from the end of the earth would I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. When his heart is overwhelmed to the Lord, he desires to be brought the place he has gone to before, when his heart has been overwhelmed. Well, here in verse 4 of this psalm, we read, therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. What does it mean then? Well, at the root of the Hebrew word, it means to shroud, to clothe. And we get the idea of darkness has come upon one, to cover. And one feels that weakness. There's that failing, that fainting. This is all in the Hebrew word, which is translated as overwhelmed. The clothing. You think of the storm clouds that gather. We're not thinking of fair weather clouds, but storm clouds that gather, and as a result, there is the darkness. That's a little illustration to help us to understand this overwhelming. The storm clouds of sorrow have come over our head, and there is this darkness within. One feels a failing within. There is a fainting within the soul. Just notice verse 7. Hear me speedily, O Lord, my spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. He so fills it within his heart. The soul of the psalmist is fainting. It's failing. He's so affected, not just his mind, but in his innermost being, there in his heart. He so fills it. And there are times when we so fail what the psalmist was going through. One is overwhelmed. How often we have sung those words in Psalm 61, knowing a little comfort, because the psalm deals with us and knows where we are. And we praise the Lord that we might be led with our overwhelmed heart unto him. Overwhelmed. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. He knew it at the present time. It was a reality. And there are times when we know the reality of this covering, this shrouding, the darkness coming, the overwhelming feeling. The dark distress, rather, has come so near. Consider for David, it was his enemy, a particular one, then those that were pursuing him behind the main one, as we note in verse 9. He was being pursued, persecuted. And the sorrow of all that came so near his heart, but like a storm cloud, and covered him, and he felt the darkness within. So distress comes very near to your mind. You're confronted with it. You may be aware of it for a while, but as it were, it's in the distance a little. It's not right in front of your mind, but then there comes this time when it really presents itself in front of your mind, and you're confronted with it. It's right on top of you, as it were, over your head. Let me illustrate. You may see a storm cloud in the distance, and you can see the rain coming down. And then suddenly it's right on top of you. And you're getting soaked. You so feel it. You're getting drenched. There are times when it's so on top of us, the distress and the sorrow, that we know that overwhelming feeling. But it comes to our mind, and comes to the door of our heart, and then it comes in. Psalm 69 verse 1, save me, O God, for the waters come unto my soul. They were there, they surrounded me, but they came right in. And that's how it is, isn't it? And we know it, don't we? The distress, the sorrow, it's come up against us. And now it's in our heart. There's the overwhelming. It's right there. We feel it. And the sorrows go around our mind. And the sorrows go around our heart. And as a result, peace is disturbed. And joy is interrupted. Sleep can be deprived of. And mental exhaustion hits in. You may not be running a race physically, but the distress comes over you and you feel this exhaustion within. Such times the psalmist knew, and there are times that the believer knows of. The overwhelming. So some sorrow in your life, some trouble, somebody's pursuing you, somebody's against you, but it can affect you, can't it? And you can feel it. Let's just consider a little further as we think of the overwhelming. The storm clouds have gathered right over your head. The waters have come into your soul and you feel the darkness. The overwhelming. You feel the darkness. Blessed are those days when we seem to be just looking at the Son of Righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's some days the sorrow comes and overwhelms us. And like Peter, we go sinking in the dark. The darkness. Turn with me to Isaiah 50 and verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Now, if you note that verse there, we're not thinking of one who is ignorant, an unbeliever. They have no saving knowledge, do they? But we're not thinking of such a one there, this blindness and this ignorance. We're thinking of the believer. But what do we read at the beginning of the verse? Who is among you that feareth the Lord? Here's the believer. Yet they're walking in darkness. So what does that mean then? Well, they're in some trial. They're in straits. The distress is right over them. They're in the darkness of affliction. They have no light. Yes, they have the Word. They have the Lord with them, but they're struggling to exercise faith. And it seems so dark. There are those experiences. The sorrow comes, and it comes nearer and nearer, like that storm cloud, and then right over your head and into your heart, and it's dark. And it's not pleasant, is it? And it's a struggle, maybe, to pray. It's a struggle to meditate. It can be a struggle to read. Yes, you can be reading the Word of God, but you're not reading. You're coming, reading, but not reading. It's not going in, is it? Blessed is he that readeth, and we are blessed when we're reading and it goes into our hearts. But sometimes in the darkness of affliction, we read, but we don't read, as it were. Oh, how we need the Lord to help us to truly read and meditate the darkness. Do you know a little of the darkness in your life? The darkness of affliction. It's not easy walking, is it? I remember one Wednesday evening many years ago at Totten, the midweek meeting was on Thursday. And on Wednesday I sometimes would go along with my father to Mr. Dance's house where he would be put to bed. And then we would have a walk afterwards. Well, my dad liked to walk if it was summertime, springtime or wintertime. So we went for little walks in the wintertime as well as the summertime. And I remember this particular walk near Ashurst in the forest. It was about 8:30. My dad was walking along with me and I could hear strange noises. But it was so dark. You know how it is. Some of you years ago would go up the hill and all the trees were there and so dark. And it's hard to walk, isn't it? And you know, in the darkness of affliction, we can stagger, as it were. We find it hard to walk. We want to walk, but we find it hard to walk. But the darkness is coming. It's not a pleasant feeling, is it? When you feel the darkness of affliction coming into your soul and you're overwhelmed, the darkness has come. We're thankful when we're in the green pasture, aren't we? We're sitting down, we're being refreshed through the provision of the shepherd, and we know that rest, but there are the valleys, the valley of the shadow of death. We've got to face that great valley one day of the shadow of death. But there's valleys on the way, and it's dark, and it's not easy, is it? It's not easy to carry on in the dark, overwhelmed. Think further. The psalmist was overwhelmed. The trial was over him. It was dark and he began to sink. You think of the burden over him and in his heart. It caused him to sink. Verse 7, hear me speedily, O Lord, my spirit faileth. There's this failing. He knows it. He's sinking. Turn again to Psalm 69. We just read in verse 1, save me, O God, for the waters have come in unto my soul. There's the overwhelming. And then verse 2 of that psalm, I sink in deep mire, where there is no standing. I come into deep waters, where the floods overflow me. The waters, they just keep pouring into my soul. The waters of affliction, I'm overwhelmed and I'm sinking. How amazing. Those words were uttered by Christ. And as you think of the experience of when you sink and the overwhelming feeling, take comfort. Your great high priest is touched. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He came into this world. He was born at Bethlehem. And one of the reasons why is that he might have a fellow feeling of our infirmities. He was overwhelmed. We didn't have to go to the Garden of Gethsemane to see that. He was a man of sorrows. He knew what it was to sink like the psalmist, and like you, he's touched. You may be struggling to pray. You may be struggling to concentrate. Remember this, the high priest is touched. He's remembering you. And he takes note of the groans you may be uttering, and he presents them to the Father. What a high priest. What a friend we have who went through the valley of affliction, who knew the darkness of affliction, the sinking feeling, that he might so understand you in such a time you face. You remember Peter walking on the sea towards Jesus, and when he saw the wind boisterous and he began to sink, what do we read in Matthew 14, verse 30, when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Begin to sink, but the psalmist, he'd already begun to sink. Here in this psalm, it's evident, isn't it? He was so burdened, overwhelmed, it was causing him to sink. Well, Peter beginning to sink, it's not pleasant, is it? You know what it's like when you begin to sink. You just want to look at the Lord. You just want to pray. You just want to rest in the promises. You want to grasp them. You want to hold on to your Saviour so near. But you begin to sink. You're overwhelmed and you're beginning to sink. You see the wind boisterous. There's a lesson we need to keep turning to the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The wind boisterous can get us down, but the Lord Jesus Christ can lift us. And you remember what he did for Peter? He immediately took hold of Peter. Peter was not forgotten, and neither are you. When you begin to sink, you are not forgotten. Not pleasant is it, the feeling of beginning to sink. You know what it's like? The overwhelmed experience, the burden is so heavy, and you're sinking. But just before we move on, just note the end of verse 4. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. Now what does this mean? Desolate. Well, at the root of the word, it means to stun, to grow numb. You're overwhelmed. The burden's on top of you. And you're numb. You're amazed. You're taken back at the situation. You're troubled so within. And it's hard to pray. Desolate. Numb. In the winter time, sometimes it's hard to speak, isn't it? Why? Because it's so cold. You have that feeling, you're trying to say something outside and it's a heavy frost and your lips feel so numb. It's hard to speak, isn't it? I remember we used to play with the snow at school. We used to take our gloves off and we would throw the snowballs. Well, after a while, your fingers felt so numb. And it was hard to put the gloves back on, wasn't it? I think when it's so cold, it can be hard to speak, the numbness. But when we're desolate, we're overwhelmed and we're so numb within, it's a struggle to pray. And that's what we see here. Because the psalmist is struggling. He stretches forth his hands. He's praying that he would be heard. He so wants to be heard here, my prayer. He doesn't want the Lord to hide his face. He's troubled. He's struggling. Overwhelmed, in the dark, and you're numb. But what are we to seek to do? Mm-hmm. We are to seek to turn to the Lord. Let's go back to Psalm 61 and verse 1. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me, Lord, the next time, but lead me now, we might say. My heart is overwhelmed, lead me. I'm coming, Lord, as we note in verse 9, I flee unto thee to hide me. But Lord, bring me there, because I'm struggling, I'm numb. I'm overwhelmed, I'm so burdened. Lead me to the rock, says the psalmist. For the psalmist was overwhelmed. He was so burdened, yet he was praying. Verse 1, hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my supplications. Remember Peter, when he was sinking, what did he say? Lord, save me. Lord, save me. I remember my dear granny, and I believe I told you this before, but it's a good illustration to illustrate this. She struggled at times to pray. I used to tell her, read the pattern prayer. Begin making that your prayer. Just open it up a little. Let the Lord help you. We may find ourselves struggling to pray. We just say a few words like, Lord help me, Lord save me. But they come from the heart, don't they? We can hardly speak because there's the numbness. But our prayer is heard. Peter was thinking, Lord save me, was his prayer. And the Lord came and lifted him up. Well, let's come now to our second point. We'll be more brief. Secondly, earnest prayer. Earnest prayer. He's overwhelmed. He's desolate. He knows the numbness. Yet he prays. There's life below the waves. Think of the great oceans. And all the animals, the fishes that live below the surface. David, he's overwhelmed, but there's life. And you thank God, though it may be so dark, though you may be overwhelmed, there is still life below. And the Lord helps you to pray. And as we will note in a moment in verse 11, he comes and he quickens you. Well, it's just in closing, just consider this earnest prayer. Just notice, first of all, verse 6. I stretch forth my hands unto thee, my soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. There he is, first of all. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. If you recall a few weeks ago, we considered the stretching forth of the hands in Psalm 63. And there we particularly focused that the psalmist brought his praise to the Lord. Here it is, Lord, as it were. An offering of praise. It's a little different here. He's stretching forth his hands as one in great need, begging the Lord in prayer. Psalm 63, he stretches forth his hands, offering praise. But here it is, he's begging the Lord, he's stretching forth. You think of those poor people in the streets. They suddenly put their hand up, don't they? They're begging, please, have you got any money? Have you got any food? Well, here's the psalmist, he's overwhelmed, and he stretches forth his hands, he makes his beg unto the Lord. He's beseeching the Lord, he's begging the Lord. He's earnest, isn't he? He knows he's in great need, and he stretches forth his hands. What's the definition in the dictionary of to beg? To earnestly or humbly ask for something. To earnestly or humbly ask for something. And that's what David's doing here. He's begging the Lord. He's humbly asking. We know that, don't we? In verse 2, you see, he has a penitent heart. Enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. He's humble. He's penitent. He's begging the Lord. Humbly making his request. He knows he so needs the Lord. He's got nothing to boast of himself. He begs the Lord. And do not we beg the Lord. We humbly ask. And you know, the Lord brings us to that point when we make our humble plea to him. We see our total need of him. Oh, that I would see that in every prayer, my total need of God. Do we always? I don't think I always. The psalmist did hear, I need thee, Lord. And so he stretches forth his hand. Yes, he will praise the Lord. But he stretches forth his hand as one begging, humbly asking, Lord. Remember that certain lady? Her daughter was grievously vexed with the devil, we read of in Matthew 15. And we're told in verse 25, then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. She came in worship. She's down before the Lord. Lord, help me. Just a little prayer again. Lord, help me. She's earnest. She's stretching forth her hands to the Lord. He's earnest in prayer, the psalmist. But then secondly, consider the second half of verse 6. Not only does he stretch forth his hands, we see him earnest, but then my soul thirsteth after he's thirsty for the Lord. He so needs the Lord. I need thee, Lord. I cannot do it myself. I cannot cope with all the sorrow over my heart. I need thee, my soul, thirsting for thee. Thirst after thee. Thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. A thirsty land is desirous of refreshment and help, and so is the psalmist. Thirsty after the Lord. Lord, I beg thee. I so need thee. Do you see the picture? Thirdly, notice verse 7, as we consider he is earnest. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hear me speedily. We pray rightly, thy will be done. But as we go through the Psalms, we know clearly we can say, make haste. Hear me speedily. Just turn with me to Psalm 40. Psalm 40. Notice how the psalm draws to a conclusion. Verse 13. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Make haste to help me, says the psalmist. Make haste to help me, says the Lord, as we know in that psalm. Now just notice verse 8. I delight to do thy will, Psalm 40. O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. I delight to do thy will, not my will, but thine be done. In the garden of Gethsemane, said Christ, I delight to do thy will. He submitted to the will of God, but he also prayed, make haste to help me. He was in such trial and agony. Make haste, and we understand the Lord, don't we? And we're allowed to make such a prayer. Make haste, thy will be done, and I delight in thy will be done, but make haste, Lord. Lord, I'm so overwhelmed, I'm surrounded by sorrow, I'm in the dark, I long for the light, the dawn of blessing. Make haste, Lord. He's earnest, isn't he? Then verse 4, rather fourthly, just notice verse 7 again, the middle of the verse, hide not thy face from me. lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. What does this mean? He desires favour. When we think of the hiding of God's face, we can think of his wrath or his fatherly anger. But when there is the showing or the shining of his face, we particularly think of favour. And yes, when the Lord in a fatherly way is angry with us, there's still the light of his countenance, but oh, to know it, do you understand that? And here the psalmist says, hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. He's humble, he feels his sin, but remember also he's in the darkness of affliction. He so longs for the shining to be felt within his soul. And do not we long for the shining to be felt within our soul? And it comes, doesn't it? Sometimes in the darkness of affliction we struggle to pray and we wonder, did we really pray? But then suddenly we find ourselves talking and we're aware we are talking with the Lord. Hide not thy face far from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Hide it not, Lord. The believer ought to consider if for some sin they have done, there is the hiding of God's face. But here we are praying for the favour to be felt within the soul, the warmth of God's grace to penetrate our hearts. Fifthly, as we think he is earnest, notice verse 8, drawing to a conclusion now. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for indeed do I trust. Cause me to hear. Yes, he's aware of the loving kindness of the Lord, but he's in the darkness of affliction. He doesn't sense the nearness of it. He longs to be aware of it and to be comforted through it. For in the word, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. Cause me. As we've seen in Psalm 63, we give thanks for his loving kindness. There are times when we so long to hear it. What do I mean? We're aware that the Lord is speaking to us through his word, and we're comforted through his grace, love and kindness. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness. He's earnest in prayer. Take comfort, the Lord's loving kindness surrounds you. He will in his good time cause you to hear it. You'll be aware of it if you're struggling to be aware of it. Sixthly, cause me to know, verse 8. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Remember, he's being pursued by his enemies. He's overwhelmed. There's the darkness of the affliction, as we see in Isaiah 50. Cause me to know the way. We know the way. It's the way of God's providence. Unfold thy providence. We know the way, secondly, the way of God's word. Bring the word home to my soul. I was praying on the way up to London. And I wrote a message. And I got to London. And Pastor Clark read out the consecutive reading. Acts 10. The whole chapter is read at the staff prayer meeting. What a blessed way. The staff engage in prayer. And suddenly, he read these words from the Word of God. Thy prayer is heard. And it's those three words, four words, out of the whole chapter, came home to my soul. Oh, the Lord shows us the way. He assures us, calls me to know the way wherein I should walk. For I lift up my soul unto thee. I'm surrounded, I'm overwhelmed. Calls me to know the way, Lord. Bring me through. And help me on. Cause me then to know how I should walk in this trial. Cause me to know he's earnest. And you know, when we're overwhelmed, do not we desire to be led on by the Lord? Led through, led out the other side, but helped in the trial as well. Seventhly, he's earnest, isn't he? Notice verse 9 and verse 12. He prays for deliverance. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Deliver me. They're in hot pursuit. Deliver me, Lord. But I will make my way. I will flee unto thee. Notice verse 12. And we read these words carefully so we get the right context. And of thy mercy cut off mine enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. Here is the prayer for deliverance, which would be a mercy to David and those with him. God acting in justice for the good of the church. We pray that our enemies would be converted. We pray that the Lord will deal if they do not turn to him for the good of the church. Deliver me. It's a prayer for deliverance, isn't it? He's overwhelmed. Deliver me, Lord. O Lord, from mine enemies I flee unto thee to hide me. Eighthly, teach me. He's earnest. Verse 10. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. He's earnest. He so wants to please God in the darkness. And though we may struggle to pray, though we may be overwhelmed, do not we still want to please God in that situation, in the darkness? Teach me. Ninthly. And finally, verse 11. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. Quicken me. Do you understand? Oh, he's earnest. He's really struggling still, isn't he? Brings us back to the fourth verse. He's overwhelmed. Quicken me. He's on the ground. He's begging the Lord. He's on the ground in sorrow, surrounded by trial. And he prays for a quickening. What does the word in the Hebrew mean, which is translated as quicken, rightly so? To quicken, to recover, repair, restore, revive. Quicken me. I'm overwhelmed. Quicken me. Strengthen me within. Let the Holy Spirit come and blow across the garden of my soul, that my faith might be strengthened, my love increase to thee, my hope more settled, and meekness displayed, that people see a little of Jesus as I walk in the darkness. Quicken me. He so desires it. He's on the ground. He wants strength. And do not we desire such? And we earnestly pray, Lord, quicken me. Lord, I just need help to face today in the workplace, in the school, in the home, the community, in this trial. I need thee, Lord. I'm tired. I remember I went to a special assembly a few months after I left school. And this particular lady, a well-known lady, I won't mention her name, but she was a well-known lady. And she gave a little talk before she gave out some particular certificates. And she said this, there are days when you wake up in the morning and you have to go to work, but all you want to do is go back to bed because you're so tired. Well, the psalmist was so tired. He just needed the Lord to help him to take the next step in front of him. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. Quicken me. And you notice there, he desires help most of all for the glory of the Lord. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake. Bring out my soul, bring my soul out of trouble. For thy glory and for the glory of thy justice, bring out my soul from trouble. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, we thank thee for these words.